This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, this fall weather is here.
Oh, man. You know, the morning lows, they're getting down into the 60s, and I think a couple of days we got down into the 50s. So, yeah, we're on that cooling trend where the mornings are nice and crisp and cool, and fall is in the air.
Fall is in the air, and I think it's here to stay. I wanted to mention that.
Ooh.
I think it is, and I think, you know, everybody's just going to be going around and you know, saying, oh, my, this is nice, you know?
That's awfully boring.
Oh, that's right. And I've got to talk just a little more about the fair. You know, I told you it was the 28th, I thought, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
And this week I found out something really funny about big techs.
Oh, what?
In the 1970s, that year, somebody stole the shirt off of big techs.
They did?
And people did not want him out there without that shirt on. People were upset. Yeah. There was phone calls to the mayor, phone calls to everybody. Because everybody knew, you know, it just had a week or so, you know, to opening, and he didn't have a shirt on. And they said, this doesn't look right. We can't have big techs out there without a shirt. And they just happened to have enough extra material to make him another shirt. And they got it made in time for the opening of the fair.
Really? With just a week to spare?
With a week to spare, they worked day and night. They built him a shirt and got it on him in time.
Well,
and I assure you, they didn't let anybody else steal the shirt.
Yeah. Well, who stole the shirt off his back?
We don't know, but it was somebody, I guess, that thought it'd be funny, and they did it. And, of course, you know, that's when he was a little bit smaller. He hadn't gained that weight and gotten taller.
Yeah.
But it still almost ruined the fair because everybody said, you know, we can't have him out there without a shirt on him, just his pants and his boots.
Yeah.
So everybody was just, you know, saying, what can we do? What do we do? And that company down here in mid-Texas said, oh, yeah, we've still got enough material to build the shirt. So they built that extra shirt, got it on him in time, got him straight, and got him standing up.
Well, that's great. A few days later, and they might have missed the opening.
They would have missed the opening, and people in Texas did not want that to happen. They didn't want to stand for that. Because by then, you know, he'd been out there a long time. And by this time, you know, he talked, he did everything. And everybody wanted to hear that draw, and, you know, howdy, folks. And so it was almost a national disaster right here in Texas because they didn't think they were going to get him dressed in time.
Well, what in the world do you do? Because that shirt is huge. It's not like you can easily hide
it. It's huge. You know, it takes, I think, what was it, 154 yards, something like that. It's really big. And somebody did something that bad. And they go, well, of course, now everybody says, well, it was not as bad as when, you know, I believe it was in 12 or 13 when he burned to the ground.
Yeah.
And they had to start over, but they made him bigger and better, voice clear. You know, just they just improved him every time anything ever happened. So State Fair has opened today. There'll be big crowds the next 28 days, you know?
Well, you know, and, I mean, if somebody has that shirt, they can't wear it, so I don't know what they would do with it.
I imagine it was like a prank. I think it was a fun deal that went wrong. You know, they didn't realize how mad the people of Texas would be, that they wanted Big Tex and his shirt out there waving at the people as they come in. A lot of people don't realize, you know, it takes a lot to get him to wave, to get him to talk, you know, all the things that he does. And, you know, without his shirt, you would have been able to see the wiring and everything. That wouldn't have been good at all.
Yeah. Well,
it would ruin some of your illusion.
It really would. It's like pulling the curtain back and you see all the magic, and we don't want to see that.
No, nobody does. Everybody wants Big Tex to, you know, be a typical Texan with his huge boots, his huge waistband, you know, his beautiful plaid shirt he's had all these years, and his big hat.
Well,
you know, I mean, this is what Texans are supposed to look like, huge, with a big bellowing voice, and that hat is really important, I feel like.
Yeah. Well, they anonymously stole the shirt. They should anonymously bring it back.
That's what they should have done. If they'd done that, it would have been very quietly handled. The shirt would have went on real quick, and they wouldn't be, desperate to get it made and get it back up here and get it on him.
Yeah.
But over the years, as you know, they've improved him. They've improved him. After the fire, improved him again. The only bad thing that happened was the guy that had been his voice all these years, that went from, you know, when he just barely could talk, when they first put the voices in him, all this, they fired him.
They fired him?
After the fire. Oh, yeah, he was fired. And the people of Texas were just up in arms. It was a very tragic thing. Someone else had taken over out at the fair, and they decided they didn't like his voice. He'd been the voice of the fair all these years. All these years.
Well, why did they fire him?
I don't know. It's just I think it was just a disagreement. I think they had a disagreement on things, the way he took care of Big Tex, how he talked, how he walked, the whole deal. And he was fired, and people were really up in arms over that. And they put somebody else in and finally got it quietened down. But that was a big deal. The Texans knew his voice. They loved his voice. I mean, he was the voice of Big Tex. But whoever the new manager was, he decided that he had to go. So he fired him.
Well, did they ever decide to bring him back, or is he still gone?
As far as I know, he's still gone. It's been a really rough deal.
You need to start a petition.
There you go. I can start a petition for anything.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll do it.
You know enough people, you can start riots in the streets.
That's it. I would love a riot in the street over turtles.
You know? It's a very common cause, turtles are.
That's right. I mean, they're slow, and we could paint them, and it'd just be an all-out funny deal.
You could paint
having them.
Having
them come down the street.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, I'd want to paint them. Yeah, we paint them red, white, and blue.
Oh, neat. Okay. I don't know that I've ever heard anybody say they wanted to paint turtles, but to each their own.
Have you ever seen any painted? I have.
No,
they
I didn't know
anything.
They were
quite attractive.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yes. They do everything nowadays. And these were very small ones at the store that were painted when I saw them. I go, oh, my gosh.
They do everything
painted
nowadays.
Turtles.
Wow.
But life is fun.
Yeah, that
life
sounds like fun.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe we should give out the phone number. What
I think we should. Let's get going.
Okay. Our phone number is 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage. And, this good weather like this, people need to get their house in order, as we always say.
Yeah.
A lot of people that are going to retire next year, they need to make sure that they're ready for retirement. You can't just say one day, I think I'll retire next year. First of all, do you have a 401k? Do you have enough? Do you have an IRA? What do you have toward retirement? Do you have a good 401k? Does your wife have one? Is your home paid for? Do you have emergency money? What are you going to live on? You've got to have all that worked out long before retirement. Do you have some CDs? Are they making 1, 2%? What's happening over there? That really should be your emergency money, because they're not making any money. And it doesn't look to me like CDs are going to make a comeback. Looks like it's going to be a hard struggle. And then if you've got a ranch, do you have a farm? Do you have some rent houses? What do you have that's going to give you retirement income the rest of your life?
So CDs
when people
are...
come to me, we go over all that.
Mm-hmm. So and, you think the CDs are done?
If they've got CDs and they're old ones, you might as well just cash them in. Let's see what we can do. Let's see if we can't get some income coming in that will sustain you. It may take income from three or four sources. It may take an IRA. It may take rent income, cattle income, or you may have enough in a 401k. We don't have to do anything. All we have to do is renew and renew and renew in order to make it work. Okay? And a lot of people, you know, they wait to the last minute. It's that old procrastination deal that we talk about all the time. Men will procrastinate almost up to the day they retire. Not quite, but I've had people come to me 2 months before retirement, say, I want to get everything out of the stock market. I need this to be solid because I'm going to retire. What can you do? And then we show them, you know, what we can do. People realize that a life insurance policy that we buy for them from someone who's got a terminal illness is a pretty safe thing because you know what you're going to make up front. You almost know when it's going to come due. Sometimes it'll fool us. It'll either be late, it'll be early, or it may wait till on time. But most of ours do not wait till on time. They're either real early or they're late. It just seems to me like that's the way they work. We had another policy mature this week. It was on a friend of ours that hasn't ever had one come due.
Really? So this
he
was his
He deserved it. It was time. Now maybe all of his others will kick in, and he'll get all of them in, and we'll renew and make him some serious money. Now I think I feel good about it that it is going to start coming due for him. You know, we've been trying to, on all of our bids lately, to get all this money out for people, and we could not get it all out because we couldn't get any policies. This week, we have bought about 5 policies.
Wow.
Yeah. 2 of them were $1 million apiece. Others are small, like $250,000 apiece. But there's quite a few of them. So next week, we will start trying to get these filled and have them filled maybe in 2 weeks. So anybody that's been waiting, you're on the list. You'll be first in line. We're going to get all those people that have been calling in and out and get their policies done, get some short-term policies for them, and make them happy and make me happy, too, that they're back in policies again. So we're going to get that done. And so I'm really proud of that, that we had a maturity that made quite a bit of money, and then that we've got all these new policies we'll be putting people in. And we bought $1 million policy and $500,000 from one guy, and that one's going to take a while because we're having to convert it to a whole life because this is the last year on his term life. You have to convert this year. And then he has a group one that has to be converted to individual. But the rest of them are ready to go. That's the only one that will not be ready to go this week. We cannot put people in. It'll take us probably 2 to 3 weeks to get it converted.
Oh, that's not bad.
It won't be bad. But the others are ready to go. We'll be putting people in them and getting them on the way to earning some good interest again. So the dry spell's over. We've got all kinds of policies that we've bid on in addition to these that we were awarded this week. So we've been awarded about 5 or 6. Then the rest of them were in the hopper. We're the high bidder, and we'll see how many of those we get. There should be a lot, and shouldn't be anybody that doesn't have all the policies they need this week. I think that'll be pretty good.
So what is it?
Ready to go.
And I know you can't really tell because I know you don't have a crystal ball, but does this mean that quite possibly this may be the start of a big sprint as we get into fourth quarter and, you know, making that race towards the end of the year? Might there be a big
push? I think it is. I think this will be a big sprint. This will be what everybody's been looking for 2 to 3 months. Mm-hmm. This is going to be where you call, you'll have a policy. You call, you'll have a policy. So we have all the policies in the world for a change. And when we couldn't get those and the guys just outbid them all summer, that's over. We've got them in our headlights right now. So I think it's going to be a wonderful fall. It's going to be a wonderful policies. And then we'll have a lot more maturities, too. And the flurry policy that came due over a month and a half ago, that all went to everybody's account yesterday. So on Friday, everybody's money was put in their account on Flurry.
Cool. So everybody went into the weekend with a little extra cash.
Yes, because remember we had 3 policies on Mr. Flurry, mm-hmm. about $2.5 million.
Wow.
Yeah, so this is a big deal. Everybody getting their money at one time. I think 2 of the policies went in their policy in their account yesterday. I think there may be one we didn't get that check on yesterday, but the other two we did. So, as I said, these were big policies on Mr. Flurry, and it came due, and we finally got our money for our clients. So that's a big deal right there, $2.5 million that they can reinvest and reinvest now. And those people's policies, their money, will be converted that over to Nevada Trust.
So
we just like Nevada Trust, and we like the way they handle their money. And anybody that doesn't transfer is crazy. They should let us transfer their money. They're going to like it a lot. I'm just telling you. We like Nevada Trust. They're easier to deal with than Bank of Utah. And it would be my preference that that's where your money is. But, you know, it's a free country.
So for,
and they can put it either place.
For the new investor, you know, with all the policies that, you know, you got this past week, where do they fit in the picture? Because I know you got some regular investors who will, you know, get into some of these policies, but will like, say I've never come to see you before, and I come talk to you on Monday, and where would I fit in the into the...
It'd be 2 weeks. It'd probably be 2 weeks, because we'll put everybody else first before you. We'll get all their policies in. Get them to say yes to all the policies we're going to be sending them, and then you'll be right there, right behind them.
Okay, so not too long.
It's not going to take long. It won't take long.
Yeah. Cool.
So, yeah, and we'll have all these policies filled, you know, in no time. So everybody that's ready and says yes, they'll get their policies first.
So these will be filled within a couple of weeks, all of them.
Oh, and yeah, then, they'll be completely filled in probably in a week.
In the meantime,
may just be a week.
You'll be bidding on more policies, which means that there'll be more to fill in the coming week. So this is always turning over. There's always things that are happening.
Yes. Right now, we have bid on 30 policies.
Wow.
30 policies. We're a high bidder on a lot of them. So we'll know on those that we don't know, and we'll know about them before next Friday.
Okay, because I don't want anybody to think
the bidding is over.
Oh yeah, and so you're just waiting now on the results.
We're waiting on the results. We're high bidder. If we end up high bidder all the week, then we're through. We'll have all those ready also.
Okay, cool. So, I don't want people to think, you know, oh gosh, you know, I'm not already, you know, signed up, or I'm not already, you know, in the system or whatever, and so I've missed the opportunity and there's no more policies. No, that's not the case at all.
No, we just got these, so we're ready to go. And we'll be sending out, you know, the middle of the week. Do you want in this policy? Do you want in that policy? Do you want in this policy? And as soon as they answer yes, they're in. If they're out of town, they might have to wait, because everybody says yes is what's going in those policies.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm going to try to get them in. Because there's one policy that's $2 million. Then, you know, I've got $1 million, and then the others are small. But the small ones spend just like the big ones.
Sure.
You know? So we'll get them in. We'll get them in their 401K or their IRA, whatever they have with us. And if it's just a joint account with your wife, we'll put that together for you. Sometimes the wife has an IRA, the husband has an IRA, a grandmother has one with us. And so sometimes it's just we're putting money in different people. You know, we'll take their money and put it in maybe two policies, maybe three. Just whatever's available, we're going to get it done. And remember what people have been making this year. There's not anybody that hadn't made a good return on the ones that have come due. You know, we've had a huge amount come due, and people have made very, very good money. I was looking at that again today, you know, on the people that the policies come due. You know, they're making 21%, 22%, 28%. So, you know, the returns are there. The money's there. They're making good money. If they have one go over, it may just be one. I do have somebody that has six that's went over. And we just got to get those done. And lots of times, you know, it's going to go a year or 2 years over. But you're not going to really lose a lot unless it's that old Denton policy. That old Denton policy is just, we try not to talk about it.
We try not to
talk. I don't even talk about that this morning. I might get depressed. But,
oh, man. Because that is... You know, That's one of the original ones from many,
that's
many years ago.
The old original one.
Yeah.
Premiums have just went up and went up. We can't stop them. Now, the thing we can do, the insurance company controls it. We don't. And if they had told us back in 13 that this thing was just going to go up, up, and up, we would have told them to get out of the office. But no. I mean, they told us these are going to come due. Well, the man's 88 this year, and I haven't heard anything about him. You know, we have several plans for that guy, but they're not working out very good.
So, when we talk about these elderly people with policies, what this is, and I know we should probably touch on this real quick, exactly the types of policies that you're going out and buying. Now, these are people that have been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, which is a very, very different than just an elderly person who wants to sell their policy, because as you found out, somebody who's just elderly and not sick, they could live, you know, for 125 years.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Well,
you just hit it on the head. We don't buy elderly policies. We don't buy seniors policies. You know, we've already been there. Our clients have been there. We're not going down that rabbit hole ever again. And when we look at a policy, our cutoff date is 75. So if you've got terminal cancer with us, you're going to be between 25 and 75. That's the whole deal right there. And the policies that we've bought, and that I bid on this week, are really going to have some pretty good fast maturities. These are people that cancer started several years ago, and now it's in every bone. You know, it's in their colon. It's everywhere. And you know, I bid on two or three that were 9 months. That's how fast it's going to be.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty fast. So, you know, when we look at these policies, if it's $1 million, we're requiring two life expectancies. Two. We're not going to do it if you've just got one. So if you've got $1 million policy you're bringing to me, you better have two life expectancies.
So you're automatically going to get a second opinion.
Yeah, we need a second opinion.
Yeah.
And we always do it. Now then, if you've got less than $1 million on your policy, yes, we'll do it with one. But we've had really, really good luck in the last several months with these small $250,000 policies. And some of them are 100. But most of them are about 250,000. And we've had such good luck. We have called those things right. This summer, we've had six policies mature that were small, 250,000, and they all matured in the first year. The
wow.
First year. Yeah. And, you know, 2 weeks ago, that guy matured that we wrote in May. It was in May. And that hardly ever happened.
That's fast.
It was fast. He had a fast-moving, progressive cancer that no one realized, including me, how fast it really was. I thought it was faster than what they were saying, you know, 18, 20 months. But the guy was a lot sicker than everybody thought.
Wow.
So, you know, anyway, The policies that we've done this year, we've had you know, a lot of fast-moving cancers. People have made good money. They're going to make good money on the rest. And, you know, we're doing everything we can to pinpoint which kind of cancer, you know, was the fastest. When did they come in? How fast was it? You know, we're trying to keep records on every part of it to make it where it's better all the time.
So the policies that you've been that you were awarded this week, what do you remember? And I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, but do you remember what types of cancer they have?
Yes, I've done a couple of breast cancer, which, you know, I think breast cancer is very fast. So, you know, to me, the ones we've had, they'll say 2 years, 3 years. I've never had a breast cancer go 3 years. It might happen any time, but most of ours are less than 2 years. So I really do understand that. The tongue and throat cancer, we'd never had them before in our life. We're getting quite a few of those now. And that will spread rapidly. If it's in, you know, your tongue, throat, it goes to the esophagus, stomach, and you're done.
So that's one of those cancers that is really at the top of, like, the, I guess, the hot list, I guess.
Yes, that and pancreatic, as you know. We've had so many pancreatic cancers. When they say 18 months, I know it's 9. It always has been with us.
They're just so rapidly moving.
So anyway, yeah, it's a rapid thing. And then there's some that are very slow, and, it's going to take 2 to 3 years.
So when
but
people
all of them are terminal. That's the whole deal right there. It has to be a terminal cancer. It can't be a cancer like a skin cancer, and you're going to live 20 years or 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those kind of, we're not interested in that. We have to turn the money for the client, and when we buy the policy, we have to know that the maturity is going to be, in the next usually 24 to 30 months.
So when people come in and you've got these policies and you say, okay, this policy is in, we're awarded with it, we're ready to go, everything's been signed, and so now we need to fill this policy. People can look and they can see, because you show them page 14, which has all this information, and so it's this is what makes this such a well-informed investment opportunity, is the fact that it is, there is so much information. You got not only the historical data, but then you've got also the current data on the policy holder.
Well, that's exactly right, because we want to have everything that we can possibly give our client. We want to know when the cancer occurred, what kind of treatments they have, how long they're going to live, if it goes over, what in the world is it going to cost you. You know, we don't want any surprises. We want to know everything we need to know.
And this
and
is,
of course, the clients want to know it too.
Yeah. I mean, this is a type of investment where you don't have to be a doctor. And this is what's really great about this. You don't have to be a doctor. You don't have to speak medical speak. You don't have to have years of research and all this, special degrees to understand it. All this information is in plain speak. It's right there for people to see. And so they come in, and I have a feeling, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I have a feeling the first time they make an investment like this, they probably come in and they're a little bit nervous. They're like, oh, gosh, there's a lot of information here. And then probably by the second investment, they're probably just put me in, go for it.
That's right. That's what they usually always say. Put me in, let's get it done. And, that's the way I feel about it, too, is, we've researched it as much as we can. We know everything we need to know. We don't know of anything else that would help. So that's what we tell them. Let's go with what the doctors say, the months. How long it's going to take, what you're going to make. And that's the most important thing. What are you going to make? We all want to know. And we want them to make good money. And if they do, they're going to be able to retire happy and wealthy and with us, So that's the goals.
And that's
I don't
whole...
want to get out here and do anything crazy.
Exactly. And I mean, if people are planning on retirement, being, winning the Mega Millions last night or the Powerball tonight, that's not a good plan. You have to really plan this. You have to do things for several years in advance. But then the other side of the coin is that a lot of people look at that and they say, my gosh, I should have been investing for 40 years before I can afford to retire and have $1 million. It doesn't actually take that long. You can do it. You just have to be disciplined about it. And I think from what it sounds like from all of our conversations, the biggest hurdle is just getting started, because once you start, then it almost becomes an automatic process. It's not like you have to maintain anything or do anything. It's just like, put me in, or put that money in my account, or cash the check, or whatever. It's very simple, very easy. It's just getting started.
That's exactly right. And once you get started, it's just like it happens around the clock, and it's easy, and you understand it, and you don't worry about it. It takes a lot of worry out of your portfolio.
Yeah.
Now, there's some people that are way over on their policies, but when they come due, they're still going to make some money, so it's not going to be like what they think it's going to be, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But then I've got a lot of people that have had one a month come due.
Really?
I've had several people. Yeah, that almost every month they get a call from us saying something matured.
Wow.
And
so how many policies
are
there?
An awful lot of them maturing, I'll tell you.
Are they in a bunch of policies at the same time?
Oh, yeah. No, they're all in a bunch of policies. 4, 5, 10.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of people have a lot of policies. So that way, if the ones that come in late, You know, we average it out, and it'll be okay. Mm-hmm. We don't want any late, but we know in advance that some will be late. So, you know, we have to tell them there'll be some that are late, some early, and then some right on time. So, and of course, you know, we try to buy the very best. We turn down a mess of policies every week. You know, somebody that's 90 years old, they're always sending those to me. 80 years old, I keep saying, don't send me those. And then we have a lot of them that the people are not ill. A guy is 69 years old, but he isn't ill. And they'll say, well, we want you to buy this policy. And I say, oh, yeah, he's got all these things. I'm reading the health, and it says he plays golf 3 days a week.
Uh-oh.
I'm telling you, that is not ill.
No.
We're looking for the people that are frail, that are not able to exercise, they're getting weaker, and we look and see how much weight they've lost. I have one this week, the guy weighed 172, and as of now, it's 115.
Oh, wow.
That guy will not survive. He will not live.
Wow.
So you've got to be watching everything about those customers. You know, if they're traveling, they're probably not sick. But if they say, you know, they're having to do this every week, this is what the situation is, that's who we want to help. We want to help the people that are truly sick and that need to sell their policy, whether it's to settle their estate, if they're wealthy, or if they need the money for treatment. And there's a lot of people going different places for treatment every week of their life.
Yeah, and those are the ones that are very, very sick. And you're very picky about the policies that you even bid on. I would probably be shocked at how many, I'm just guessing, that you probably reject because you know from doing this for so many years what is a good policy and what is not. And I'm sure that you know, by the time it gets to your desk and it's approved and you've bid on it, that by that time investors who, especially ones who have been with you for a little bit of time, they know, hey, if Faye says this is a good policy, it's a good policy.
That's right, because when I see a bad one, I've turned down three this week, and everybody else thought they were just wonderful. But again, you've got to be terminal. You've got to be ill. And if you're not that sick, I'm telling you, I'm not going to take a chance on your life.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to spend $1 million for a policy. The guy's going to survive.
And the other thing that's reassuring is that you look at so many different factors. It's not like you just look at the policy and, you know, it has a green check mark on it and you say, okay, sure. You look at all these different things. Like you were just saying, you know, weight loss, you know, the types of medication, what kinds of activities are they doing? You also look at other things like what are they not doing?
That's right. What are they not doing, you know? And then look at the medications they're on. If they're not on a strong painkiller, the other day a guy, you know, was on opium. And you've got to really be sick to go to opium.
Yeah.
You know? But the guy was on opium. And his doctor got it for him. So I know that guy is not going to last long. First, his wife died. Then he found out he had all these other kind of cancers. And then I read what all he's taking. And when I came to the opium, I go, oh, my gosh. This guy is in terrible pain. He's truly sick. Let's bid on it. And that's one of the ones we got. So, you know, it's really important to know what cancer drugs are on. If they're not on any cancer drug, I feel like it's went in reverse and they're okay. And if it's been reversed, don't touch it. It might be 2 or 3 years before it comes back. In the meantime, we're going to have to explain that to people.
Yeah, remission can last for a while.
It can. It can last 2 or 3 years. And so you don't want to do that. You want to go with what you know about their medication, what treatment they're on. I read one this week. The guy said he thought he'd go back and do a clinical trial. Well, a clinical trial will do one thing. It's not going to cure you, of course, but it's going to delay you dying. A clinical course will delay you for 8 or 9 months. So you have to think about that.
Yeah, and let's
be
clear.
It's a miracle.
You know, there's plenty of other companies that will buy these types of policies. It's just you have a very specific type of policy you're looking for because that's what best suits your client. That's how, you know, people are able to make so much money because you are so selective about the policies.
That's right. And a lot of people just say, we'll buy your policy if you don't want it. If you just don't want it, we'll buy it.
Yeah.
Now, they might live 25 years and the company's going to pay all that premium that long. That could be a long deal.
It could be very expensive.
But, oh, my gosh. And we tell people when they're going to bring us a policy, it's got to be fairly short. You know, 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want anything longer than 3 years.
No.
So they give us a break and they won't bring it, or they'll just tell us, are you going to make up your mind to do it? No, we're not going to change our mind.
Okay, cool.
So it's worked and it'll keep working if we do it just like that.
And we should point out here that we're talking about the policies themselves. So we're really hyper zoomed in. In a few minutes after we do trivia, we'll kind of zoom out a little bit and look at the big picture about how all of this ties together and helps grow people's money for maturity. That's coming up in just a few minutes. This is Your Money with Fay Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia, and you always bring fun things, like you were talking at the top of the show. Sometimes it's about the fair. Sometimes it's about things to do in Texas. Sometimes it's a place to visit. What are we talking about today?
We're going to talk about the Blanco State Park.
Ooh.
It's one of the first parks in our state.
Really?
It was built in 1933.
Wow.
Now, this is a park and a river. This river runs through downtown Blanco, okay? I mean, it's all engulfed right there on the square. You can walk down the square and over that little bridge, you see the Blanco River. People bring their kids there. Families go there. You can have a picnic. What they did when they built this thing, they built a 70-foot table. You can have a picnic out there on that thing. The kids jump off the little dam right into the water. It's not one that you could tube. This is a very slow, majestic little river that you can just get in an inner tube and just float along. You can swim. The whole family can swim right there. It's just a grand park. And there's every kind of fish in this river. All through the summer, there's so much you can do. Then, of course, in the winter, the bass are biting. So you can do that also. But it's a park. It's a year-round park as far as I'm concerned. And this was built by CCC, which is your, it'd be like a government deal, back in the 30s. And they built all the things that go in this park in 1 year.
Wow.
Most people don't even realize it. Yeah. And it's like a city park because it's just a few blocks from the square. And it's 105 acres is how much it is.
And, huge.
Yeah. Company 854 of the Civilian Construction Corps, they swooped in. And the story is they efficiently completed the roads, the bridges, two dams, and the limestone and timber open-air pavilion. And it's just a wonderful place. The Blanco River runs mostly shallow most of the time, so you're going to find some places that are dry. And it runs all the way to San Marcos, 87 miles. So some riverbeds are awash all the time when the river's moving. And then there's some parts of it that dry up during the year. But as I said, it's a wonderful, it has a limestone bottom where you can see everything. And that's why the members of the 18th century Spanish expedition, they're the ones that named it. They're the ones that named it Blanco. But there's big, huge sycamores over the river. There's cottonwoods. There's pecan trees. And there's still a small campground uphill right from the falls. And they've wired all that and did everything for picnics and, everything. But they have the fish, they splash, the turtles do. They have red ear sliders, spiny softball shells, river coaters, everything. And then they've got some snakes. I forgot to mention snakes.
You forgot the snakes.
The snakes just come right on in with you.
Oh, wow.
Seen it many a time. But you can swim, you can float, you can do cannonballs, you can do kayaking, because it's just a wonderful little river. And bass, of course, catfish, sunfish, and then in the winter, they stock the thing with rainbow trout. And so you can imagine how exciting it is and how, really, it's just almost year-round fun for the whole family, And what I like is such a slow-moving river, you know? And they've got a couple of paths down there. And it's been there 85 years. And in the 60s, it was neglected. It had low attendance. Everybody was going to just get rid of that river. Wasn't going to save it. And they decided to save it. The townspeople did. And they hired Ira Carswell. And he agreed to manage the park. He said, I'll do it for $210 a month, which was nothing. He took the $210 and hired a helper. And they set about, they said, we're going to make all the repairs to the infrastructure. We're going to repair it. And, of course, the residents really were doing it for themselves. And they wanted to preserve the crown jewel of their little town. So they completed it, back in town. The county courthouse was completed in 1886. And it's got the funniest story. It was only in business for 4 years. Now, they built this nice courthouse on the square, 1886. People tried to steal it. Everything in the world happened. The election that year moved the county courthouse to Johnson City, all the way to Johnson City.
Wow.
It didn't set well. People were really hot, and needless to say, inside the courthouse is a drawing from the early 1890s. They found it in 1977, and what it says, you know, what they really thought of them. They said, go through, cursed with thy ill-gotten gains, but the old gal made out okay. And, you know, they were really upset. But they tried to haul it away atop an oxen-driven wagon, and they tried to steal it. They made them bring it back. And then it served as a hospital, it was a school, it was a museum, and later it was the backdrop for True Grit, the movie.
Really?
Yeah. And then there was another takeover attempt in the 1980s. And it just barely escaped being sold, dismantled, and relocated to a ranch. So, you know, the women had a bake sale, and they salvaged the courthouse one more time. To use it for other things. So it's been encroached bit by bit, and they will inform you about the courthouse and what all's happened to it over the state, about the water wars, the traffic woes, and then they talk about stringing barbed wire up across the riverbed.
Barbed wire, you get?
Yeah, here comes the barbed wire.
All right.
And there was a line, what some consider public waterways. Others said this is private. It's about the width of barbed wire and just as injurious. And not that neighbor rain and all this hadn't ruined the river several times. But again, they got out the barbed wire and were trying to make a big statement. Now, there are several restaurants I've got to tell you about. The old Iron House Saloon. It's a great old restaurant. They've got Josie's Cafe. But this is the one that I like to talk about. It's the Pink Tractor Farm. And they've got chickens outside that congregate under the air conditioning unit, and they are not under any circumstances to be fed ice cream or cookies.
Oh, two of my favorite foods.
Yeah. They said, don't give the chickens the ice cream or any of the cookies. And then the Mosky family farm, they enjoy an honor system. If no one's around and you're hungry, they humbly request that you not use lottery tickets as payment and just pay some cash on the counter. Oh, my gosh.
Do not use lottery tickets as payment. Wow.
Yes, please don't use them. So, and then the whiskey company. Now, you can play cards, dominoes, or you can get some champagne, and, you know, just have a beer, and then you can visit with their German short-haired pointer dog, and he is the namesake of the place. So you can imagine how interesting this little place is.
Wow.
You can visit the dog. You can go over there and visit the chickens. If no one's there at that one little place, don't use your tickets of any kind. Please just lay some money on the counter. They trust you.
Well, that doesn't happen very often. There's not many places you can go where people just say, you know, just do whatever, and they trust you. Now, the honor system doesn't fly most places.
No, it doesn't, because people are not honest.
No.
But in Blanco, they trust you. You know, they don't think you'll steal the chickens. They don't think, hopefully, you won't give them ice cream and cookies.
And that hadn't happened yet.
I had never seen a chicken eat ice cream. I need to go there and see if he really does.
Well, I can assure you that if I was there, I would not be feeding the chickens ice cream or cookies, because I would have been busy eating them myself.
That's right.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. This little river that flows through the city is a fabulous place to go and swim. With a river rock bottom and all this, it's clean. It's very beautiful. You've got the cottonwoods. You've got pecan trees. You've got everything. Big old cypress is growing, and it's a very quiet, leisurely time you could have there.
And you got that 70-foot table, too, which would be fantastic for like a family reunion or something like
that.
Oh,
yeah. A big family deal would be wonderful. And people come there. As I said, you can camp out, just so many things, or you can go to a motel. But camping out sounds like it would be a lot of fun on that river.
Yeah, it would.
And just avoid the snakes and you'll be fine.
You reckon that that saloon, is that like an old saloon, or is it like a newer type of thing?
No, I think it's old. I think it's like everything else there. It's you just go and mix in with the country folk there.
Wow. I think that'd be cool to see some of those old buildings and stuff.
Yeah, and try not to show that you're dumb, you know, a city person.
Try not to show that you're dumb. They don't take kindly to city folk.
And now I've got to tell you one more really funny story about the place.
Uh-huh.
There were some guys, city slickers from Austin came out there. Well, they loved the river. They loved everything, the picnic areas, all this. And they were there several days. And they got ready to leave, and their car wouldn't start. They were trying to call AAA. Here we are way out in the country. They want AAA to come and start their car.
Oh, boy.
And they couldn't get anybody. And then one of them finally got in the trunk and said, well, our dad put this battery charger in here years ago, but I don't know how to use it. I'm laughing my heart out. I'm going, I can't believe these young guys did not know what to do. They waited 30 minutes. Nobody came by. There was no people out there. And they finally had to learn to do it. They were afraid they would blow up the car. That's how bad it was. And you know what? They got it started, didn't tell a soul, and they roared out of there.
Yeah.
And I'm laughing. Can you imagine having to learn to use a battery cable?
Well,
and these are guys in college.
Uh-huh. I'd be afraid of blowing up the car, too.
They were. They were afraid they were going to blow it up.
It's a reasonable concern.
Oh, my gosh. A reasonable concern, and they left and journeyed back to Austin, where they were from.
Now, where is Blanco, anyway?
Okay, it's in South Texas, down by Fredericksburg and all those other little towns in South Texas.
Okay, cool.
Okay, yes. And it's not a hard drive. It's an easy drive. You've got Blanco, you've got all those little towns, okay?
And you said it's a good year-round place, and there's like fishing in the winter and all that. So when get out of like fair season and you know the all the other things that happen in the fall, you know, it comes to be January, you're looking for stuff to do. This might be something great.
Well, because see, it's a lot warmer there than it is here.
Yeah.
Here, you know, you wouldn't be. In another month, it'd be a little cool for all that, but it won't be there.
Yeah.
It'll be nice and warm. Till probably the middle of winter, I think. And some guys, it wouldn't even bother them then.
Yeah.
But it's a lot warmer than here.
Yeah, it almost be ideal in the winter.
Yes.
Wow.
So, anyway, I think it's a great place to visit, to shop. You know, go back in time a little bit.
Yeah, it'd be cool and neat to see all those things.
Yes, and that river will make you want to come many times.
Blanco State Park. It's on my bucket list. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
So we were talking about these policies specifically a little while ago, and I said that we would put it all together and make it make a little bit more sense for the big picture about how you can use these types of investments for retirement, to build your wealth. And so it's not a really complicated process to begin with, but to keep it simple, the way it works is that you invest in a life settlement, you take your profits because you don't have to worry. You're not up all night, you know, like with the stock market, wondering if you still have anything. All you do the initial investment and you basically wait for the policy to retire. When that does happen, you take your profits, you reinvest it into another policy. Now, you do this over a couple of years, and we're talking about pretty substantial growth, pretty quick, not overnight, but still pretty quick. So this is reasonable and it is doable.
It is reasonable. It is doable. We have a lot of people that have already retired with us, and they are making money, they are getting money, and they're in great shape.
So let's just give a real quick example. Let's take a generic policy. A policy at $100,000, $100,000 investment. Say it's an 18-month policy, so it'd be 18% profit, which means a profit of $18,000. When that policy matures, you take that $18,000, put it in another policy, or correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think a couple people would put it in one, maybe two. You want to have a little bit
of a
diversified.
We would process that one. I'd take the $118,000, put it in another one, and grow it each time just like that.
Okay.
Because remember, these are IRAs, and they don't need the money right this minute. So it's safe to do this. Now, if the time comes when they're starting to take money, then we have to leave interest in the account at all times. But if they're 45, 50 years old, no. We can advance that money every 2 years or 18 months or whatever until we get where we want to be and ready for retirement.
So really this is something that's doable for somebody who's in their mid-40s or even 50?
Or 60.
Or 60.
If they're 60 years old, they've still got 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, they've got the time to do it. If somebody's already retired and comes to us, we have to look and see how much money they're taking every year, how much money we have to invest and make it work. And it's pretty easy. If they've got $300,000, $400,000 when they retired, we can still make it work.
So how long would it take somebody generally? And I know this is really kind of an abstract question because everybody's situation is different, but how long would it take just for like an average person to build up enough for retirement? Is this like a 5-year thing or a 20-year journey?
No. I would say 6 to 7 years. If they start out pretty good, yes, they can go ahead and retire in 6 or 7 years. Depending what we're paying them every year, depending what they're making, how many policies we've got. And we just have to try and see for a year or two which way it's going to work. If they can take 60,000 a year, 70, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
And we work on it, okay?
And I know the wheels are turning. I know people are thinking, well, geez, I didn't realize this could be quite this fast. So
they did not realize they could do it.
For somebody who's thinking about this now for the first time and they're realizing, oh my gosh, this is much more doable than I thought, what does it take to qualify for the program?
Okay, we haven't even mentioned that today. What's wrong with us? You must have $100,000 to start. Can't start without it. Then you must have income of $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without the house.
Okay, and that includes the investments.
Uh-huh.
Rental property.
You have to add up your 401k, your CDs, income from houses, farms, ranches, whatever. Add it all together. Life insurance, whatever.
So for somebody who owns their own business, that also counts as an asset.
Absolutely, because that's their biggest asset.
Yeah.
If you are in business for yourself, really, that's your biggest asset.
So for the first-time investor in a life settlement like this, they would come in, and how do they usually get in maybe one policy to start with, or how does it work?
No, usually they'll be in 3 or 4 to start with.
Oh, really? So you hit the gate running.
Yeah, because you want to get started pretty good. You don't want to hang back if you're 55, 60 years old.
So
you got to get it moving.
the older somebody is, you just get to be a little bit more aggressive with the plan.
That's right. You need to be if you're that age.
Now, for somebody who's not accredited and doesn't qualify for a life settlement, there's other ways to build your wealth to get to that point where you can switch over to life insurance policies.
That's right. You can start out with an annuity. You may never change from an annuity. But an annuity is safe. They're guaranteed. They've been in business 150 to 200 years. And you'll make good money on them. You can't outlive an annuity. You can take a lifetime annuity out of an annuity. So they're safe, they're good, and a lot of different people ride them with different rules and different ways to access your money.
So there's opportunity for just about everybody.
Absolutely.
But the key is getting started.
That's right. You can't just talk about it the rest of your life.
And I know you say all the time that procrastination is really the biggest downfall when it comes to people preparing for retirement. And with this type of thing, especially with a life settlement, you don't have to worry. It doesn't take daily activities. You don't have to do anything every week. You don't have to check in every month. Nothing like that. You start it. You set it. When the policy matures, you'll call them or send them an email.
We send them an email every time.
So it's not even an interactive process. So people can't say, gosh, I don't have time to maintain this. I'm so busy. That's not a thing.
No, nothing like that. We did it for them.
Cool. All right. So for somebody who wants to do this, who wants to come talk to you next week, I know you've got some opportunities coming up. I know you're always bidding on even more policies. So what should somebody do like today to get ready to come see you?
Well, they need to get all their documents, everything they want me to look at, and then call the office on Monday morning and make an appointment.
Okay. And so one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.